Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, September 10, 2023, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 6, 9 and 10 sounds like this: knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, he can never die again. Physical death no longer has any rulership or control over him. So in verse 9, we have physical death of Christ. Now in verse 10, his spiritual death. For with regard to the fact that he died, spiritual death on the cross, his salvation work on the cross, he died once for all with reference to sin. But with regard to the resurrection life that he lives with reference to the God, God the Father. And we noted the first 5 points under that. One, the spiritual death that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross was a once for all encounter with the personal sins of the whole world. Two, the personal sins of all mankind were paid for in full once and for all by Christ's work on the cross. Three, now that this sacrificial work has been accomplished, he has risen from the dead, he lives this resurrection life to God the Father in his hypostatic union. Four, from now on, in his resurrection life, that life that he lives is fully oriented to God the Father's infinite and perfect plan. Five, the relationship of Christ both to sin and to God is precisely the way that the believer should relate to sin and to God. And that is Romans 6, verse 11. Which we have coming up, which says, So also, on the one hand, you, royal family of God, should consider yourselves to be dead with reference to sin, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth. But on the other hand, you should consider yourselves to be alive with reference to God in Christ Jesus, current positional truth, union with Christ. So again, point four was from now on in his resurrection life, that life that he lives, the Lord Jesus Christ lives, is fully oriented to the Father's infinite and perfect plan. And so point five, The relationship of Christ, both to sin and to God, is precisely the way that believers should relate to sin and to God, and that's coming up in verse 11. Point six, this must be related to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as salvation, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ for all of the royal family of God. This must be related to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. Seven, it must be related, therefore, to both retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection. So this must be related to both retroactive and current positional truth. Eight, current positional truth demands that the believer live his life with reference to God. We are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We are no longer as an unbeliever. Our rulership was to the sin nature as an unbeliever. At the moment of faith in Christ and the baptism of the Spirit, in entering into union with Jesus Christ, we have a new marriage. Now we're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our authority. And so current positional truth demands that the believer live his life with reference to God. Nine, union with Christ, current positional truth, demands a new way of life for the church age believer. Union with Christ, current positional truth, demands a new way of life. Romans 6:4 calls it newness of life. Romans 6:4, therefore we have been buried together with Him, Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised from the dead by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. So union with Christ, current positional truth, demands a new way of life for the church age believer. And that new way of life is the unique spiritual life God the Father has given to us in this dispensation, the church age. There never was this unique spiritual life in any other time in human history. First time it was ever given was by the Father to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His hypostatic union, to live this unique spiritual life during the first advent. And then after the first advent, His resurrection, ascension, and session, then that unique spiritual life was given to the body of Christ, every single church age believer. Why? Why do we have to have this unique spiritual life? But the Old Testament saints did not have to have it. Because the angelic conflict has shifted gears. In the Old Testament, the attack was on the line of Christ and then on Jesus Christ himself, so he had to have that spiritual life during the first advent. But now Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ, and that's you. That's every one of you. Everyone in here. The attack has shifted to you personally. For the first time in all of human history, Satan has shifted gears and now the attack is on the body of Christ. And therefore, God has given to us this unique spiritual life of the church age, which is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power to live it. And that supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. So, at salvation, we have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Never occurred before in human history. There was the endowment of the Spirit, but never the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Now we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which means to be empowered to live this unique spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, so that we don't become casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. We're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And therefore, God has graced us out and given us everything we need. This unique spiritual life. He's given us the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. And then he gives us a command. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk, live your life by the power of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Not your power, but by the power of the Spirit. And then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then the mandate, the prohibition. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. And then the mandate, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as you fulfill those mandates, then the ultimate objective of the spiritual life will be achieved. You will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which will motivate impersonal love for all mankind. So, union with Christ, current positional truth, demands a new way of life for the church age believer. That is the unique spiritual life of the church age. 10. Positional truth demands a new way of life compatible with the resurrected life of Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. Positional truth demands a new way of life compatible with the resurrected life of Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. Eleven, current positional truth establishes the principle that the unique spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life and therefore demands supernatural power for its execution. It's not your power, not your ability. It is the power of God the Holy Spirit. Current positional truth establishes the principle that the unique spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life and demands supernatural power for its execution. And that power is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the power of the Word of God in your heart. Now, anything that an unbeliever can do or accomplish, that is not the spiritual life. Anything that an unbeliever can do or accomplish, that is not the spiritual life. This is a supernatural way of life given to the royal family of God in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Because God wants you to be a winner. God wants you to be a winner. He doesn't want you to be a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And I watched a movie the other day. Maybe some of you have seen it. Cabin in the Sky. Ethel Waters and Rochester. It was a movie made with all black people in it. And what I liked about this was, I kept telling them, you know what? They don't make movies like this anymore. And Ethel Waters is a believer. Rochester has been living most of his life in the cosmic system. He loves to throw dice. He loves to gamble and throw dice. And he's supposed to be in church. He told his wife he's going to go to church. And I know a lot of this is stupid. I'm going to go forward. But instead, he went out, when it came time for to go forward, he went out, some of his buddies that he owed money to because he lost so much money, said, come on, we're going to go over and shoot dice, and you got to pay us off. So he went over and shot dice, and he got shot. He got shot, and he died. Rochester died. And then here comes the bad angels, and headed up by Lucifer's son. They come, and they go, you're going to go down into hell and burn, and And then here come the good angels, and the good angels come in. And here he is, he's dead, and his spirit's sitting outside looking at him. He said, what's wrong? He said, well, you're dead. Oh, you're dead. But Ethel Waters, she comes in, and he's dead. And she prays these great prayers. And even Lucifer's son said, boy, that's the greatest prayer I ever heard. And they wound up, God listened to Ethel Waters' prayers, and he was resuscitated. Rochester was resuscitated, and he had 6 months, 6 months to see if he could change his thinking. And anyway, I'm watching all that going, this is pretty good. The fact that there's an angelic conflict. And you see right now in here, there are angels all over in here. Your guardian angels are all here. There's elect angels in here. And we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And you're constantly under attack. Satan has an inside agent. It's called the old sin nature, still in your body, sending up temptation from the lust patterns of the sin nature, tempting you to make bad decisions and to get out of fellowship with God, sin, get out of fellowship with God, get into Satan's cosmic system, and crash and burn. And Satan wants you to crash and burn. And the Lord Jesus Christ and God wants you to be a winner. So we have, in this intensified stage of the angelic conflict, we have been given this unique spiritual life to live the spiritual skills. You have a choice. You all have a free will sitting in here right now. You use that volition every day. And you can use that volition for God and for the Word of God. Or you can use that volition for the temptations that come from the sin nature. You have a free will. Where you can either live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills that God has given to you and be a winner, or you can make bad decisions and live your life in Satan's cosmic system. It's up to you. It's up to you totally. I'm not here to make you do anything. First of all, I can't make anyone do anything anyway. All I can do is teach you what the Word of God says. But you have a free will. You can make good decisions for God and for the Word of God. You can make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill and become a winner believer and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Or you have a free will. You can make bad decisions to turn away from God and the Word of God and live your life in Satan's cosmic system. You won't lose your salvation, but you will be a loser in time and a loser for all eternity. You'll be in heaven, but there's no equality in heaven. There are winner believers in heaven, there are loser believers in heaven, and everything in between. There's no equality in heaven. So it's up to you. I would love to see all of you be winner believers in heaven. That's what I would love to see. There's no reason why you aren't. You're in a sound Bible teaching church where the Word of God and the grace and truth of the Word of God is taught again and again and again and again, twice on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but not this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's taught again and again and again and again. And if you want to be here and get it, you can be here. And if you don't, then stay home. Or go fishing. And I love to fish too. Or go hunting. And I love to hunt too. Ask Wardo. I took Wardo with me on a bow hunting. And I know now why the Indians lost. And I took Wardo bow hunting. And we had a plan. I saw these huge bucks, bunch of them, go through this saddle. And I told the people we were with, you try to sneak up on them in the saddle and get them. Wardo and I are going to go up on the top of the mountain, because if they go through that, they're going to shoot up to the top. So Wardo and I went up to the top. We hid in these small bushes. And all of a sudden I saw here they come, the bucks out. And here they come running up the mountain. And I'm getting ready. And the biggest buck of them all ran right into the bush where Ward and I were. He was, I'm serious, he was 3 to 4 feet away. And he just freezes. All of a sudden he's sitting there and he goes, oh, shit. I'm dead. No, you're not. I'm the one that's pulling the bow. And so I can't believe he's only 3 feet, 4 feet away. And I start to pull the bow back and the arrow falls off onto my arm. The deer is there. I'm holding it like this and the arrow is pointing like this. And I go, oh, no. Just stay there just a second. Put the back up. And he shoots off, and I shoot, and I miss. And then Ward goes, Pastor Olson, I could have hit him with a rock. So I turned the bow, and I he said, I'm not worried. You can't hit that deer 3 feet. You're not going to hit me. Sure, I love to do all those things too. But yeah, I mean, what I'm talking about is what is really going on in your thinking. What are you thinking about? Is God really important to you? Is the Word of God really important to you? You have the chance. We're not here very long. And I would love to see all of you turn to God and turn to the Word of God, make good decisions, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. I would love that and hope, pray. You see, maybe you didn't know, but I pray for my congregation. I pray for all of you every day. Every day. And we got some great believers in here that are going through some real, real major testing, suffering for blessing. I mean, most of you don't even know. Some of you do. And they are the best of the best. And I hold them up before the Father, the throne of grace, day after day after day. And they are, in their thinking, they are so for God and so for the Word of God. And they have God's problem-solving devices in their heart, and they're clearing these hurdles with precisely correct procedure. And they're glorifying God in their suffering as well as in times of prosperity. I know they're glorifying God. Every day they glorify God. Kind of like Satan when he came before the Lord and Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, yeah, sure. Look, you put a wall of fire around, you protect him, and you bless him out of his tree. No wonder he serves you. But you take away all of those blessings. You take that all away. And he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord says, okay, take them away. Take them all away. But don't touch his life. And Satan took them all away. And Job did not curse the Lord. He said, the Lord giveth. He gave me all these blessings. The Lord taketh away. He took them away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't curse Jesus Christ. He didn't curse God. The Lord gives these blessings. The Lord takes away these blessings. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And we got believers in here just as great as that. And I hope that all of you will get to that point in your life where this is reality. So verse 10 says, for with regard to the fact that he died, spiritual death on the cross, he died once for all with reference to sin. But with regard to the resurrection life that he lived, he lived with reference to the God, God the Father. Now that brings us to Romans 6, 11 to 13, where we have the application of the doctrinal truth that we have been studying in Romans 6, 1 through 10. And that is where we'll start next week. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.